Hey, church, will you stand with me for the first reading of the scriptures? I'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, beginning of verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." All right, be seated. So this morning, I just want to, simple invitation, to draw us into a posture of thanksgiving and faithfulness. And I want to say something about this text in just a moment, but I want to just bring some things to mind for you, reasons we should be thankful here at Campus Church. In February, we'll be celebrating our 54th year of existence as a church, and we'll have a special Sunday where we will thank God for all of the things that God has done in this community over 54 years. But this morning, I want us to just think about this last year, not just in your own lives and in the lives of your family, but in the life of this church. And there are lots of things that we could talk about, things that you could name yourself. But I just want to name a few for you and invite you to be grateful and then give you a charge toward faithfulness. One, we talk about this every Sunday, but I want us to remember to be thankful for the generosity of this community. Generosity not being who gave the most money, but a community full of people who truly have found the gift of joy in giving. And that is this community. Every year we have this rhythm of a Harvest Sunday in the spring and Vision Sunday in the spring, Harvest Sunday in the fall. This year, each of those Sundays, this church gave over $100,000. That's a lot of thousands of dollars for this little community of faith. It happens every year, because not because we're particularly wealthy, but because we're a community full of people who have found joy in giving. I'm thankful to God for what he has done in cultivating that giving spirit in this church, and particularly how he has worked in some of you to teach the rest of us the joy of giving. I'm thankful to God for that. I am really thankful to God for the staff that serves this church. If you don't know the staff, you need to get to know them. We have an amazing team of really gifted by the Spirit, and good-hearted, loving pastors at this church. And your giving is connected to those pastors because your giving supports them so that they can not just do work for this church, but what this staff does so well is invites us into participation in the work of God. So if you see a staff person this morning, thank them and thank God for them. I'm really thankful for our shepherding families. If you're a shepherding family that's here this morning, they're not all here today, but raise your hand so people can see who you are, the Reeds and the Duns and the Sharps and the McCrarys, and I know at least one of the Gibbs is here. Janet's over there. Unless you lived through that role, you can't necessarily know some of the difficulties and challenges of what it's like to carry the burden of shepherding a congregation and to feel this constant pull toward, am I doing it right? Am I doing what I need to be doing? And these men and women love this body so much and have committed so much time and giftedness toward this church. So if you see a shepherding family, thank them and thank God for them. I'm super thankful for our teenagers and our children at this church. We have a lot of them, if you didn't know that. Christy tells us every Monday in our staff meeting how many little people were in the back. And it's a lot of little people, folks. A lot of children who come in full of smiles and who are experiencing, they're having experiences with church that are joyful. You know, they're going to look back on their time. That's what we want. We want them to look back on their time at Campus Church and remember, I loved being a part of that community of faith. I feel that they're being parented and grandparented and loved by so many of you. Our teenagers and our youth group, the work that Sue and Christy and Jeremy are doing is phenomenal. This is a particularly welcoming and loving group. Those of you who have teenagers who are awkward, every now and then one of them is awkward, you know that this group just welcomes and loves all different kinds of kids that come in to the group. Our youth group has actually at least three or four of our teenagers have been leading worship at their schools and in different settings, which I love, Leah, that our worship team is inspiring our teenagers to participate in that. They're going on mission trips and loving on each other and loving on their neighbors and bringing their neighbors to this community. I'm so thankful for our teenagers. I'm so thankful to God for our seasoned Christians. I used to say old, but then I joined you, and I don't like that word quite as much anymore. Now, I say this all the time, and I say it when I'm not in your presence, too, when I'm telling people about our church. We have the coolest old people of any church that I've ever been a part of. And I say this all the time. I want to say it again, that many of you seasoned Christians went through battles in your faith, went through journeys of being taught things about God and discerning and working through, discovering grace and the love of God, discovering spiritual giftedness, the presence of the Spirit in your lives, discovering so many things about the journey. And you have fought those battles for many of us. Our younger teens are so amazing. Don't even know. They don't even know about some of the battles. I've told you before that I asked my kids one time, hey, do you ever struggle with wondering if God loves you? And they were like, what are you talking about? They had no idea, you know. And part of the reason is because some of you seasoned Christians, you went through that battle growing up in a kind of religious system in which you wondered whether God was loving you in that moment, whether God was pleased with you. I'm thankful to God for you because of the battles that you fought. And your commitment to the faith to keep on growing and keep on learning has shaped this community in so many powerful ways. Okay, last one. There are many more, but I'm super thankful, and I want to say something to the young parents. I'm thankful for our children and for our teenagers. I'm thankful for us old folks, us grandparents. I haven't mentioned it in a while, so I know you wanted to hear about it. Listen, young parents, parents of teenagers, you're doing it. I don't know how you feel if you're like Crystal and I, always wondering, are we doing this right? How many mistakes are we making? How many of these mistakes are going to come back to haunt us? How many of these mistakes are going to show up in counseling sessions later on? How many are they going to tell us about, you know? Our kids are at the age now where they love to come back and tell us about things they got away with, you know? I love to hear it. Crystal hates to hear all about all the things they got away with. We still are surprised, by the way. But I watch you young families, and I've told some of you this personally. I think you're amazing. I watch you raising these kids in an environment that's just full of freedom and mercy. And it wasn't the way that I raised my kids early on. I thought that my job was to control my kids. I still feel that way sometimes, but they don't agree. I just want you parents of teens and young children to know that I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the ways that you are being intentional, even in your brokenness, of pouring into your children, pouring faith into your children. I totally believe in what's coming for our church because of the work and the effort you're putting into that. Amen, older people. You see that? We're not judging you. We're loving you and see so much good in what you're doing. Well, I want to invite you this morning and this week to just be reflecting on what has God been doing in this church and for this church and through this church? What has God been doing in you and for you and through you? And I want to invite you to pause on your way. Have you noticed how many of the gospel stories involve people who are including Jesus on their way to do something important, and the value of stopping along the way to attend to something more important? Luke tells this story that 10 are healed, and Jesus told them, go do this religious thing. You know, it's like this, like the story of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite, on their way to do a religious thing. But only one of them, the Samaritan, stops on his way to do something good, to attend to something better, you know? And as we head into a new year, you know, our lives can be so about what comes next, you know? We have found ourselves, did I mention that we're grandparents? We have this grandbaby. And like, you know, he can't do anything yet. And I find myself really enjoying who he is, but also anticipating what's next, you know? When will he be able to play baseball? Is it soon, you know? I've taught him how to bunt and how to slide so far, you know? But life is sort of like that, anticipating what's coming next, what's coming next. And so there's some health to that and some joy in that, but there's also some unhealth at times when we spend our entire lives focused on what's next, as if what's next is the great thing. And I can imagine, and it would be fair for these men who are isolated and outcast, who are suffering through disease, to imagine that the thing that is next is healing and rejoining the community. It's fair. Like, it's fair for them to dream about that. But it seems like 9 of them are so captured by that dream of what's next that they missed the greatest thing in that moment. And we sang about it this morning. There was this line, and I knew I was going to forget it, but it's something like, if the highest point is being at your feet, then, how's it go, Leah? Come on, Leah, you sang it.
Done it all.
Yeah. If the highest place is being at your feet, then I've done it all. And that is this story, right? That 10 of them have this imagination about the life that is the life that they want, the life that they dream about, and they're headed that way. But one of them stops and is full of thanksgiving and praise, and he among the 10 finds the life to its fullest, because the life that is the fullest kind of life is the life that is full of praise and thanksgiving at the feet of Jesus. This is the space. This is the life that he couldn't even dream about, right? The life that Dan talked about, that he has found himself. So I want to invite us, not just because God deserves this, and not just because this is what we're supposed to do, you know, you're supposed to thank God and give him praise, but because this space, this, rather than a life that's full of only anticipation about the future, but is present in the moment at the feet of Jesus, thanking him in the good and what seems like the bad, in the wonderful and what seems like the difficult, the spirit and posture of thanksgiving at the feet of Jesus, this is the next thing. It is the next thing. It is the place that is the good, what we say, is the good life for us. As I want to invite you into that and then give you this charge, the charge to the healed, the charge to the one who is in this posture, mindful of the good and the wonderful and the blessing. And the charge is to be thankful and faithful in the what doesn't feel so good that is coming next, or what doesn't seem so great in the present. This is the challenge when Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this little phrase that we repeat often that he writes in verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There's a reason why Paul words it this way and gives this charge to these young Christians, because he understands that they are presently and will in the future face difficulties, turns that are unexpected and sorrowful or challenging, giving thanks not just for what you have received or what you feel thankful for, but this important wording from Paul, in all circumstances. This is the challenge of faith. But this is what we want the posture of thanksgiving to funnel into for us, not just thankfulness for all of the things, because we are thankful for all of the things, but this posture of thanksgiving and praise that feeds into even the difficult moments. When Crystal and I lived in Colorado and we were moving to Arkansas, we had three little children, a little baby and then two little toddlers, because we had no sense about us. And we were moving the whole family. You know, like moving, if you've never moved, moving is, it's one of the worst things. And selling the house, buying a house, saying goodbye to all the people you love, so leaving all everything that's familiar, going into a strange land with Arkansans everywhere, you know, and new people and a new church and new neighborhood and all of the things. We had done it enough times at this point in our marriage that we knew, like, things aren't going to go the way we want them to, right? They never do. That something's going to happen. Some things are going to happen that are going to throw a wrench in our plans. As much as we envision what we want to happen, something is going to go wrong. And so we decided, like, we've been through this enough times. We sat down and we decided, okay, on this move from Colorado to Arkansas, we are going to be faithful. You remember this, Crystal? We just decided it. It's the rule in the house. We're going to be faithful no matter what happens, which, you know, this is a good thing to do, but you're sort of testing God in this one, you know? We're going to be faithful no matter what happens. We sold our house in one day. We put it, sorry, Jeremy, we put it in the newspaper. We didn't have a realtor. We just put it in the newspaper and sold it in one day. We're like, look, look, we're being faithful, and God is rewarding us for our great faith, you know? We found a house in Arkansas to purchase, 1,300 square feet for three going on four kids. It was huge. It was amazing, you know? And we were, I think, one day away from the movers coming and loading up the trucks and heading to Arkansas. We got a call from our realtor in Arkansas. The deal with the house fell through. Now we have nowhere to go. We're moving to a foreign land and no place to live, you know? I mean, there are worse things, but when you're in the middle of it, it seems like, God, we said we were going to be faithful. Can't you make this easy, you know? I was down in the basement of our home that we were moving out of in Colorado. And I heard a noise. And then, you remember the Yellow Pages? Teenagers, the Yellow Pages, these phone books, they're like this thick, really big. The Yellow Pages came flying down the stairs, followed by a barbaric yop, you know, a guttural scream from Crystal. And then she quietly followed them down, picked the Yellow Pages up, and looked at me and said, I'm now ready to be faithful, you know? But that can be what faithfulness looks like, can't it? Like, faithfulness isn't dishonesty. It is dealing with the moment and all of its messiness and all of our own messiness. It's pulling, it's holding the struggle before God and saying, I'm, you know, ignore my scream. I'm committed to being faithful in this moment. Help me with my faithfulness. All right, church. Some of you are in the middle of it now. I know you are. I know some of your stories. You're in the middle of much more difficult journeys than that. Journeys that are discouraging and disappointing and so uncertain about what's coming next. And I want to encourage you, as you think about and prepare for what's coming next, it's not just in the joyful journey to what's next, it's in the difficult journey as well, to pause and attend to the important thing that is thankfulness and faithfulness at the feet of Jesus, our Lord. Believing, this is what faithfulness is, believing that life at the feet of Jesus, no matter what else is going on, is the good life. Right, church? Okay, stand with me. I want to invite you to join me in a prayer of thankfulness and faithfulness. I'll read and ask you to join in on the yellow, okay? So you guys jump in on the yellow. Oh God, for the beautiful sunrise and the cloudy day, we will be thankful and faithful. For the good night's sleep, and the sleepless night, we will be thankful and faithful. For the joy of community and the seasons of loneliness, we will be thankful and faithful. For the victories and failures, the celebrations and sorrows, the healings and deaths, we will be thankful and faithful. When we feel your presence and fear your absence, we will be thankful and faithful. For the suffering of the cross, for the resurrection of our Lord, and for the cruciform life, we will be thankful and faithful. And now join me, as these are some of the lyrics for what we're about to sing, and then we'll worship together. Join me in this. O God of Jacob and Moses, Mary and David, you heard your children then, you hear your children now. You were providing then, you are providing now. You moved in power then, God, move in power now. You were a Savior then, you are a Savior now. You are the same God, O Rock of Ages. We are standing on your faithfulness. Amen.